Hello, everyone, and welcome to JFG Tonight. Micronova says vast underground cities inaccessible to the undesirables is a thing. Two, those underground dwelling extraterrestrial and ascended humans have the right ID, see Shambhala and Honeycomb Earth. Wow, you are on some other shit, Micronova, tonight. How are you doing, people? On the regular chat tonight, we will be reviewing the news, and I'd like to review the video of Scott Adams, a stream that he did, I believe, today, earlier today. And, you know, when someone starts approaching the realities of race, there are a lot of cognitive defects, a lot of cognitive dissonance that they can use to hide themselves from information, that they can use to obfuscate the truth. And I'm afraid that Scott Adams here is completely wrong about his discovery of certain things about race, and he's approaching it the wrong way. He thinks he has an argument to say we can basically discard all of the truths of race because they are averages. That is not true. And he makes a lot of fallacies along the way, so I think we're going to watch a four-minute clip of where he lays this out. But basically, his argument in summary is to say the bell curve presents only averages, and it shouldn't matter to your life at all. You can basically do nothing with an average. He says it doesn't even give you probabilistic knowledge. So when you're faced with a black person or a white person, you still know nothing except what you can gather from the individual. I think it's absolutely incorrect, and I think Scott Adams must be put back in his place here, and it's just you are using a set of cognitive dissonance strategies to hide yourself from reality. When you have an average, you have a probability. You have at least the probability of taking anyone that you don't know at all from the whole group and what it's going to result in. It's also a fallacy to believe that because you have averages and the state treats people as individuals, there won't be any consequences. Because the state makes decisions that have collective impact. So when the state decides to give social welfare program to have them that generous or that generous, it differentially impacts the groups that we're talking about. And so if some group differs by their ability to self-sustain or to perform on the work market, a single policy of the state, even if it is directed at individuals, a single policy of the state will have a massively different effect on the black population and on the white population. And so it is an absolute fallacy to believe that because you want to treat people as individuals, that your individual treatment don't have collective effects that will be amplified or dampened by the averages of the groups you interact with and of the groups that you're trying to fix or not to fix or that you're trying to exploit or not exploit. Group differences matter. And because a mean is nothing else than the collection of individual observations. That is all that a mean is. So there is definitely a link between the mean and each of the individual of the population. Or else we wouldn't be making means. We wouldn't care about probabilities. T.S. Apostolos says, some/most minds struggle with probabilities and exponentials, see COVID predictions, etc. Oh yeah, that was a fun one. When people started counting death rates on known COVID cases at the beginning of the pandemic and started extrapolating that math into the future, Thunderfoot is one of those who was completely beside the track. I mean, it was basically announcing billions of deaths on planet Earth. And I knew because I had seen it before, it's the early kill rates are always over-evaluated. Because the early kill rates are based on identified cases, And you never know how much percentage of the population even goes to the hospital on an early virus like this. So there's a lot of people out there surviving COVID at the beginning of the pandemic that you don't even know have COVID. And it's always been the same. We always start at a kill rate of 1 to 4% of those people who get the disease. They did it with H1N1. They did it with COVID. And it always ends with, oh, it's not 1 to 4%. It's 0.000 whatever. People have huge problems understanding what is it that you know, what is it that you don't know, and what does it mean, what you know? What does it mean if you know the mean of something? And what if you don't know the mean? And what if you know the numerator, but you don't know the denominator? All of this will make massive amplifications of errors in your approach. Go away, says JF. If I meet a black person in my area, I don't judge them by race because I live in an affluent, well-educated area and the average of the people in my area is more relevant than the average of the race of the people in my area. You are committing all sorts of fallacies in there. I didn't say the average of the race of the people in my area. I didn't say this is what you need to trust. What I said is, if you have an observation that is phenotypic, such as skin color, and you know that this observation is tied to statistics and averages, you have probabilistic knowledge per se, even before you know anything about the person, and you should use that knowledge if it's to your advantage to use it, if it's useful information for you. So we'll get there. But first, Queen Charlotte, 1661. So that was Queen Charlotte in 1761, about 300 years ago. Now, in the representation of the movie, she has become an African, just like this. Queen Charlotte. We have an Africanization of our movie culture. To the point of ridicule here. I don't think Queen Charlotte could have looked like this, whoever it is. It's not that I have much historical knowledge about who she is, but I do know that people of the monarchies of Europe in 1761 didn't look like this. And yes, it is cultural appropriation. Aquanote says whitewashing equals racist. Blackwashing equals brave. Yeah, it's a fascinating double standard that they tried to push onto society when they started accusing white people of cultural appropriation and when they started saying blackface is racist, but whiteface doesn't seem to be a problem. I've never heard these leftists complain about whiteface, and yet it's what keeps happening. An appropriation of monarchic culture of Europe, which was entirely white. And all of this, if you were to do it in the reverse, you would be faced with accusations of cultural appropriation. So they are implementing a lot of double standards like this that are aimed at crushing the white population and elevating the black population. It's like, how much of this do you want? Do you want to keep going on this for hundreds of years? Because we're already tired. And eventually, the white people of this country will just exchange themselves some ideas about, hey, we are being oppressed. And you're not going to be able to make it taboo. The taboo may last a couple of years, but down the line, when you see how much oppression white people have been targeted with, there's going to be a point at which the taboo doesn't hold even for a normie. And they're going to have to be facing reality then. Twitter announces, I'm so glad about this, but I'm afraid. I'm afraid because they announced that they will be beginning to wind down the Legacy Verified program. So people will be losing their unpaid blue check marks. But they announced that this is beginning on April 1st. I hope that it's not an April Fool's joke. I hope that we're not there, because I've been waiting for this moment for a long time. I want to see them lose their blue check mark while I keep mine, because it's been ridiculous how independent creators have been punished by this system. It was a system meant to reward the little clique. And if they had a criteria that is based on numbers of followers, that would have been objective. But it wasn't this. It was all designed to capture only the leftist journalist and so, and to exclude people like me. And I'm so happy that we are reaching the point where perhaps Stephen King will not have a blue check mark, and I will. I don't care if I have to pay for it. I'm going to enjoy that moment just for the revolutionary aspect of it, the reversal of power that is coming with it. End of the line, Joel says, Twitter has regressed into the usual right-wing censorship again. Yeah, that's too bad. They've been leaving me alone for now, but they've been targeting people based on countries, you know. At some point, they banned all of our English friends. And that is too bad. And it was a time during which the English government, or the UK government, was starting to talk about them and insult them, and they get targeted by Twitter in combination. That really sucks. I've had an idea that I proposed to Elon Musk. Hear me out, Elon. Legacy check marks should be replaced with the poop emoji. These elites are born in poop. They must accept Twitter blue in their heart for the poop to be washed away. I took a little inspiration from what I hear at church, you know, how the blood of Jesus Christ comes to cleanse you, but you have to accept Jesus as your savior in your heart. I tried to put a modern spin to it. So instead of being your sins, I put the poop emoji. And you would accept Twitter blue in your heart, and the poop emoji would be washed away. I think that would be an amazing system. I'm so glad that Jan Malschungs published this video of John McAfee, my friend, who is now dead. Another one of my friend who died in jail. That is really too bad. But I'm glad that this video was put out, because I didn't know about it, and yet I was coming independently to these conclusions during this week. I was thinking about TikTok and how the American government is going after TikTok. And I have this growing theory of the government in our type of civilization, in Western civilization, in supposedly open society. And it seems to me that the government always do only one thing, and it is to create a cartel. The government created a cartel of censorship by having this whole interaction with Twitter, which is revealed with the Twitter files. The government created a cartel with cable TV and ad purchases and public waves and radio. The government creates cartels in the domain of farming, and by creating all these rules, this red tape, and you have to send your pig to the official government approved slaughterhouse, and all this kind of stuff. The government keeps creating cartels. And I think that their attack on TikTok should be seen as nothing else than this. The government is frustrated that, hey, America has been the center of processing of the data of the entire world, and we don't want to lose this edge because it gives us an informational advantage against any other society. All the data converges to the US and gets processed and analyzed in those Facebook, Twitter, Google servers. And ultimately, the attack on TikTok is not because TikTok gathers information. I mean, they do, but they don't do it much any more than any of the American companies. What the government is pissed about is that disinformation is basically an export to China. and they're like, no, no, we want this edge. We want this advantage. You're not going to gather as much information as us, or else we're going to punish you by not allowing you access to the American market. And John McAfee has come to the exact same conclusion, and he lays it out beautifully here.
Good morning. All this hubbub in the United States Department of Justice about TikTok and other Chinese apps. Why? Those motherfucking apps collect data on you and store it in China. What app ever created does not collect data on you? You show me one, please, God. And if you want to know the greatest data collectors of all time, it's Google and Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Wake the fuck up, people. What is this hubbub all about? It is about the United States not being able to collect data on its system through yet another app.
It's a cartel of information acquisition, and they're just pissed that there's another player in the cartel.
Because they sure as fuck have access to Google and Facebook. All they need is a goddamn subpoena. How hard is it to get a subpoena if you're in the Justice Department? I don't know. A 15-minute process. And then Google's got to give up everything. So does Facebook, so does Twitter, so does Instagram, so does every fucking app owner in America. But if you're not in America, well, they can't issue a subpoena, so that's their goddamn problem. And people, if you think that TikTok poses a threat, poses a threat to you as an individual, you just need to wake up. Your greatest threat as an individual is a fucking smartphone that you carry with you everywhere. It is a spy device that monitors, watches, listens to your every movement.
All right, so excellent speech by John McAfee. His style of delivery is very unique. There is no one who speaks like this. Like this kind of intellectual professor, serious tone, but at the same time, you know, reacting in a very old way. I love the guy. I love this mind. He was a very different person. And I'm honored to have spoken to him here on the show. Scientists have created mice with two biologically male parents for the first time, a significant milestone in reproductive biology. This is something I will cover in my letter to humanity. Bad idea. Bad idea. There is something in nature that has decided that women were different than men, and they have different psychology, they have different physique, they have different many things. And the reason this difference would be maintained in the face of evolution and convergence and random mutations is because it's very useful. There is no reason for sexual dimorphism if it doesn't serve a deep evolutionary purpose. And by giving the possibility to homosexual parents to be parenting children, you're going to deprive yourself of the advantage of the diversity. Because in this world, we talk so much about diversity. And here we're not able to honor one of the diversity that nature did maintain. Nature decided that you would have a diversity of parents, that one of your parents would be male, one of your parents would be female. That is a diversity that a child benefits from. And so we are all saying diversity is our strength and all these slogans, but I'm not sure the leftists truly believe it. Because here they had the option of abolishing an aspect of diversity, and they abolished it. Certain children will be deprived of the two cognitive poles of having a male model and a female model to grow up around. Raised Fist says, very weak point from McAfee. Amazon, an American company, will use the collected data to show me ads. China, a military enemy of the US, will use my data to... Well, I don't think that China looks like a danger to the US military within the next few decades. I don't think that China constitutes an offensive force against the US. Now, I think that there may be conflicts between the two countries, but mostly it's going to be about American imperialism, because it's going to be around Taiwan, and it's going to be around the domination of America in countries that it doesn't have any legitimate reason to dominate. So I guess you can see it whatever way you like. If you consider China your enemy, then perhaps you are scared. But I don't think you should. Go Away says, JF, if me and my wife die in a car crash, is it legal for us to have a stipulation in our will that our children cannot be adopted to a gay couple? Those are questions that are up for grabs. I've actually had to do some research about this because a question came to me by someone who was writing a will in our audience. And my guess is that in the future, courts would not honor such a device, such a will device. You would have to put it in your will in a way that doesn't discriminate against sexual orientation. So the case I was researching about was, how do you transfer your wealth to only the children that live a reproductive lifestyle? So you want basically to have a punishment, a monetary punishment for lifestyles that are non-reproductive. And if you were to just write it that way in your will, I don't want homosexual parents. A court would probably say, as a court, even if that was the desire of the individual, as a court, I cannot discriminate in the way the individual is asking me to because of the 14th Amendment or equivalence in Canada. So no, it probably wouldn't be honored. But if you were to designate the people that should be in charge, you could make sure that you designate heterosexuals that you trust. And by not mentioning that you made that decision because they were hetero, then perhaps that could be honored by a court. all right. Just in El Salvador, president to eliminate all taxes on income, property, and capital gains for technology innovations. El Salvador is pretty Bitcoin-pilled, and they've been moving into the last bull run, moving in to buy Bitcoin, and it seems that they will continue doing it. And now they want to attract the people who may be miners or who may be building stuff around technology. You know, it's, as far as I know, it's a very small country of Central America or South America, you know, somewhere around Mexico. And I don't think it's a very interesting country, but they're making themselves more and more attractive. Perhaps it will be one of those countries in America that pops up as very different from the others around, and that succeeds at being financially viable and interesting for tourists. But I don't know that it's a place I would go yet. El Salvador president should really hire a body double for his personal safety. Yeah, the last time when we have countries that have tried to develop some sort of financial sovereignty, a lot of hate has been directed at these people. And there is a chance that they get assassinated. So yes, I do think those are good recommendations. Me Too says, what good is it that to the population of El Salvador to attract a tech bubble? I mean, it's a good question, but if you believe that it's an environment in full development and that it's the future, it can totally change the economy of your country down the line, in decades down the line. Imagine that El Salvador is this big destination for everyone who has Bitcoin, and Bitcoin happens to be extremely successful and worth millions. You're just attracting a lot of entry, and that is the goal of an economy very often. Because someone who comes with his Bitcoins to El Salvador to live the rest of his life, he spends locally, the local currency increases in value, the local commerce make money, the state makes money of the local commerce, and it creates an economic life locally. This morning, Binance was bugged. Temporary system maintenance lasted a couple of hours, I think. But everything was good. There was just a problem in their matching engine for their market, and they blocked everything so that they could have a check. And after a couple of hours, withdrawals were restored. Today, I have bought BNB. Today, I have decided to diversify my portfolio. Yesterday, I bought ETH, moved them to my ledger. Today, I bought BNB because I think that BNB has extreme potential for growth. BNB on the BSC chain is basically the equivalent of ETH. It is the currency of the blockchain. And there is so much development happening on the Binance Smart Chain. I see games appearing. I see tokens. I see there will be programs. The fees are super low. The chain is super efficacious. And so I'm thinking that some allocation of my assets to BNB is wise in the long term, and that perhaps at this point it even has a bigger potential for growth than Bitcoin. So right now because of this purchase, I am at 98% Bitcoin, 1% ETH, and 1% BNB. Speaker's Corner says, "You are a shit corner now, JF. You are dead to me." As James was pointing onto the Discord, he was saying, "This is only 2% of JF's asset, but it creates 50% of the hate in his audience." Yeah, you guys are pretty emotional for me just making a small decision of a very small fraction of my portfolio. And I wanted to check whether my ledger was able to handle BNB coins on the BSC chain. Let me tell you, it doesn't very well. I may have found the first defect of the ledger. It handles the transactions on the Binance Smart Chain very poorly. First, I sent a test coin just to see if my ledger would catch them. And my account was not updating, and yet it was moving on the blockchain. And so, and it was confirmed and everything. And yet it showed zero BNB. Started doing some research. People report that somehow there's a bug in Ledger. On the Binance Smart Chain, the Ledger takes 2 days to update your account. For some reason, you have to wait 2 days, even if everything is confirmed. So there's definitely a bug in how they handle the updating of the account, because despite this, the transaction was listing in my transactions. But Ledger has an issue refreshing the account number of BNB you have. So that is the first thing. So I thought, well, it's now, can I send? It turns out you cannot send as long as the account hasn't updated, because the account thinks you have zero. So you can't send back the BNB. Now, I did find an indirect way where you can install MetaMask as a Google Chrome extension, and you can basically make MetaMask controllable by your ledger in a way that you don't have to type in your seed keys, because that would be a security risk. I wanted really to keep my security keys in my ledger. But if you import, if you plug your ledger into the MetaMask, then you have instant access to your coin. So there's definitely a problem with the Ledger Live program. And they've even admitted it on Twitter. And they said 1 month ago, they said they would work on an update and fix it, but it's still not fixed. So very worrying. But at the end, all of my coins are safe. And I do have independent control through MetaMask of those coins. But just if that happens to you, because I've been recommending the Ledger to my audience, just know that Ledger and BSC will give you heart pumps. It will give you some nervousness. But in the end, the funds are safe you. Micronova says, since he diversified, how about creating a Monero wallet to accept donations? Bruh. jfg.world/bitcoins.html. Bruh. Guess what, bruh? I have my XMR wallet on the website. You just have to go to jfg.world. And yeah, people have been sending me XMR. XMR is there. You just click on crypto donations. You're going to access this page. And yes, those are my wallets for Binance Smart Chain. I've put BTC. I've put XMR. I could put ETH also. I think it's fair. I could totally put ETH. Now let's get started on Scott Adams and his comments about the bell curve, which I think are fallacious.
Here is my debunking of that point of view. And I'm going to use myself as an example and a hypothetical, might be true, I don't know, but it's hypothetical. Doesn't matter if it's true. I'm just using it as an example. Suppose I found out that my group of white people had lower IQ on average than Vietnamese Americans. I don't know if that's true. I have no idea if it's true or not. But let's say it was true. Let's say that, and there was a big difference, like 10, 15 points. So what do I do when I wake up?
Well, you can do a lot of things. If you were, for example, interested in finding a girlfriend who has higher IQ, you could date within the higher IQ race. And immediately, on average, on every try that you do with a girl, you would find yourself with whatever mean difference there is between the two groups as a starting advantage. That is, you might find a genius in the white population, but you would be more likely to find them in the Asian population if by genius you only care really about the IQ measure. So a measure of average gives you a lot of statistical power. It's the beginning of any good decision. All the decisions you make in your life are based on average. Even when you decide about a single human being, you are basically averaging out their past interactions with you, and you're making an average of the trust that you can put into them based on past interactions.
How do I act differently now that I know that, in my example, if I know that Vietnamese Americans had higher academic performance and higher IQs, what would I do about it?
Well, you could, let's say you start a company. You could have a trend to say, hey, maybe I'm better starting a company with an Asian guy. If I do a company in computer programming and we need someone who's extremely smart, you might get a better result from this average.
Would I give up because I can't do as well as they can do?
Well, that's a fallacy. To just think that here is one example that you wouldn't do, but there's a list of other things that you could do and that you would be better informed about.
I don't think I would. I think all I would do is incorporate it into my strategy.
Exactly, which means a lot of things. Which means, by the way, from the other side, from the side of the person who you won't choose as a girlfriend, who you won't choose as an employee, who you won't choose as a business partner, from that person's perspective, it's discrimination. John Drake says, disclaimer, JF isn't saying to do this. It's illegal in Canada. Exactly. I'm not saying do it. I'm saying don't claim that there is no informational gain in an average, because in situations where it would be legal to do it, you would have an informational advantage. That is my point tonight.
And I'd say, oh, well, you might be able to beat me on a test, but maybe I could outwork you. Well, good luck with that. And maybe I can form a strategy by putting together, let's say, a talent stack that my combined skills, maybe none of them are as good as the person I'm competing against, but when I combine them, I'm a more capable.
So here he's adopting just the perspective of the person below, the person in the group that is less intelligent than the Vietnamese American, and looking up to them and saying, how can I adjust my strategy? But it is not the only thing you can do. You can also partner and learn from the higher IQ, from the most educated people around you, and drain more information from them for use in your life.
Full package. I just adjust my strategy for the fact that somebody can beat me as something on average. Now, of course, I would know that if I were applying for a job and there were another Vietnamese American applying for the same job, would I say to myself, no, I'll never get that job because of the average? No, of course not. I would apply for the job because the average doesn't tell me that that person is smarter than me. It doesn't tell me anything about that one situation. So if you ask yourself, how would you use the information? It turns out there's no way to use it.
This is where it's false. It's where it's misleading. Now, you can make all sorts of emotional arguments around how would you feel as a white person being less intelligent on average than the Vietnamese. But don't come and say there's no way to use this information. There are plenty of ways to use this information, some of them even legal in Canada. You could totally change your dating strategy, your reproductive strategy, based on considerations around race. There's nothing that keeps you from doing it. And so you could say, well, I'm looking for a partner that is high IQ, low criminality, and that would point you toward a list of races that where you're more likely to find those features. So there you go. Already a use for your averages that you claim have zero use.
Well, all you would do is do the things you should have been doing anyway. You should have been having your maximum strategy, doing whatever is the best thing you can do independent of what anybody else is doing.
But given the finite nature of the world, for example, if you are scanning the female populations for potential interest in you, you're going to have a limited number of females you can talk to. By deciding, since I'm limited in the number of females I can talk to, I will try to favor probabilistically speaking to Vietnamese American females because they have the features I want for my children. There you go. You just made a decision that is based on averages and that has used your limited energy, your finite energy, to dedicate it to the most likely scenarios where you would be flourishing.
Or what would the law do? What would the government do differently?
Well, here's the thing. The government already does all sorts of decisions based on averages. And the government makes decisions that impact populations differentially. When the government decides to give social welfare at this level, or when the government decides you get employment insurance after this quota of hours, and it's going to be that much money, all of this ends up determining who's benefiting most from it, who's hurt by it, who's paying who. So whenever the government does redistribution, whether it's through social welfare or public school services, it has a disparate impact on races, because races to begin with don't have equal access to quality education. So when the government comes in and says, I'm going to give this low quality public school education, but I'm going to give it to everyone, there are certain white families who have zero benefits from it. because they were already capable of homeschooling their children, or they were already sending their children to a private school. Therefore, this gift of the government is worth zero to them. In fact, those families are probably well off and they probably pay taxes. And so they end up being in the negative when the government starts offering public schools. Now, take another population, a population that is in poverty, that has low education, low abilities to raise their own children. And for them, it's a great gift, the public school, even if not good, because it already improves their state. So the way the government does any program will have massively unequal effects onto an already unequal population. Angry Sicilian says, most people don't realize that JF has to crumble his speech to conform to the rules of his country. The fact that he discusses taboo topics and conveys his point still is a great accomplishment, in my opinion. Cheers, JF. Well, yes, that is absolutely true. I totally adapt everything I do to Canadian law because I'm not a criminal. I really want to respect the law. And it's not, I'm not faking it. I'm not telling you this as like, wink, wink. No, I'm a guy who respects the law. I don't care if I don't agree with the law. I'm a guy who says, okay, our countries have determined certain laws. I'm going to respect them by the book. That's just, I guess it's a little white aspect of my behavior and culture. I'm just like this. I love to respect the law. I mean, I was at the post office, you know, during the COVID pandemic. And there was a list of instructions like stand 4 feet behind the counter as you hand your ticket to get your Amazon delivery. Deposit the ticket here, stand 4 feet here, wear a mask, turn that way, don't look at me in the eyes. There was a list of rules at the post office. And every day I was going, and me and Mama JF, we get a lot of Amazon deliveries because we do a lot of shopping for, well, like these months, I haven't gotten a lot, but back in the day, somehow we had a lot of things to buy to equip the house, and we were doing it on Amazon. And I was following all of the rules. And at some point, the lady at the post office says, you're the only one who follows all of these rules. And it's like, I love the irony of the situation because of all of these people who were daily disrespecting her rules, I'm probably the most revolutionary. I'm probably the most contrarian. I'm probably perceived as the greatest threat by our secret services. And there's no way they would consider any of these guys violating these little COVID rules as any sort of threat. And yet they would consider me as a threat, unjustly, I would argue. But all of this to say, it's amazing because in the end, I'm the true punk who truly respects the rules still because I have respect for the conception of rules. I have respect for the fact that you may disagree as an individual, but the collectivity has decided that they had a rulemaking process and there is no reason to violate them just for fun. Micronova sends a super chat. He says, the USA military uses a test called the ASVAB, a quick aptitude test which can roughly predict IQ. This ASVAB score has many categories, and for certain jobs, you must have minimum scores. It's pretty low, but it keeps dangerously low IQ recruits out of certain jobs. Okay, interesting. Yeah, I knew that there's something like 87 IQ, that they don't take someone below 87 IQ, I believe, or something like this. 83. Yeah, I knew that there was a threshold, but I didn't know which tests particularly they were using. Which is bizarre because it is illegal for corporations in the U.S. to administer IQ tests. So that's weird. Neon Blacksmith says, polite and respectful JF. It's a sad thing that being polite and having manners is seen as odd. Yeah, definitely. It is odd. I've had many people, come to me in my life and say, oh, you're weird. And all of this because I was either doing nothing or I was either too respectful of some rules. Oh, God. All right, let's keep listening to Scott Adams. And by the way, if you'd like to support the show, use the dollar button under the Odyssey chat. Odyssey Super Chats are my favorite way to receive support for the show. It is the platform where I prefer to receive your support. If you'd like to give on a monthly basis, use the Patreon, Subscribestar, or the Backed By. And for the Backed By, you're going to have to set up a Polygon chain MetaMask. But let me tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it to have some of your wealth in decentralized wallets. And, you know, although I don't expect that most people will convert to this in the short term, I really appreciate when I see people subscribing on Backed By, because that's true decentralized money. That's something that I can never be banned from Backed By, because it's owned by Dick Masterson. And, you know, just the name of the guy, Dick Masterson, you know, it reeks of mastery of the dick. It reeks of the guy knows what he's doing. I don't expect to ever be banned from Backed By. And it's all full blockchain automated. So if you'd like to get your hands onto the whole idea of starting wallets on parallel chains like Polygon, start doing it. And if you don't want to do it to give me money, I recommend you do it for your own elevation and education, because it's super easy to add. You create a MetaMask wallet, and your same seed words that create your MetaMask wallet on ETH will also be the same seed words on all these other chains. So start exploring, add network, Polygon chain. You're going to see it's just another world. It's just another ETH world, where you can gather coins, and it's typically the chains that are alternative to ETH. They have spawned because ETH has too high of a fee for transfer. But on all these other chains, the fees are ridiculously low. I find myself getting like $5 out of $5. I find myself getting 4.9999. It's amazing. It's amazing how low the costs are on these chains. Ali Mayer says, JF, just out of curiosity, if you can say, understand if you can't. I've always been curious how wilderness or remote you are. Like an hour close to Walmart, McDo? More than an hour. I have to drive a couple of hours to get to a civilization where I do my groceries and fast food, where you would see a fast food. So yes, that it's not remote in the sense that I'm not in kilometers of forest. I am living on a little street, you know, just with farmers around me. And so that is super fun, because you get to have meat, you get to have high quality meat. Like I can look by my window and I see cows. There are cows everywhere. So that is good to see the food you will eat grow around you. And so that is the kind of environment I live in. It's not an environment that is unpopulated, but it's an environment that is populated by the right people.
If it found out that I had a lower, if I were a member of a group, it has nothing to do with me, but I'm a member of a group with lower IQ than some other group, what does my government do? Well, nothing, I hope. I would hope they do nothing. Because if you help all...
Here's the thing. It doesn't matter whether the government wants to do something against a group or for a group. The government is effectively doing something that advantages and disadvantages groups over others, no matter their degree of intention. So, for example, for the last few decades, white people have been drained of money to pay for social programs that care for black people through jails, through the criminal system, through social welfare, through food stamps. If you look at the net contribution of races to the tax programs, you realize that basically the government, and it's been like this for almost forever, the government drains from white people and gives to other races. So it doesn't matter whether the government wanted to do this. It's what happens in the end. And so, yes, these knowledge of means are extremely important to understand how even a non-racially intentioned program, government program, will have racial impacts.
All of the individuals and all of the groups do the best they can, you get the best outcome. It's very clear that helping everybody who needs help gets you a good outcome. But what would you do if you found some, like, average difference? There's nothing you can...
You could understand that the government can only be directed in one direction in its current state, and it is to further drain away from white people and give to other people. And as the government becomes bigger, it can only go that way. Micronova says, we can now draw a greater than 1 hour circle around Walmarts in Canada, then eliminate large areas by other minor questions later on and selectively send purposefully error letters addressed to JF. The post office will deliver letters with minor mistakes sometimes. You can try. All I will say, Micronova, is, you know, whenever I talk about where I am, some people start writing to me and they say, Jeff, you've revealed too much. You've revealed too much. Please understand this. I'm a professional of the internet world. There's always a little salt and pepper in my algorithm. And if you understand computer security, you will understand what that means. I'm giving you hashed, salt and peppered information when I give you information of that sort.
You can do with it, except be a frickin' racist. The only thing you can do with that information about differences in IQs, because it's an average, if it spoke to every single person in the group, well, then you could be a racist and use it for some useful purpose.
It doesn't have to speak to every single person in the group to be a truth. Means are truths. They are not truths about individual, but they are truths that come from individual statistics grouped together. And so you don't even have to have the mean coming from all the individuals in the group to have some statistical idea about what you can expect. And the expectation is a probabilistic call. Let me, for example, you can state something true about a coin. You can say, this coin has 50% chance of going head, 50% chance of going tails. That is the truth. You may not know about the single event of a single coin flip, but you can already say a couple of things about what you can expect in terms of coin flips. For example, you can expect a series of 8 flips where 4 are tails and 4 are heads will be more common than a series of 8 heads. Because there are, in combinatorics, there are repetitions. In other words, the criteria for all of them being heads is 50%, 50%, 50%, 50%, and you have to flip it on your side every time. Whereas the criteria that says just have 4 heads and 4 tails, but I'm not specifying the order in which that can happen, that leaves a lot of combinatorial possibilities. So it will be a more common event. Here's a truth that I have derived on a coin that you initially would claim based on your thinking, Scott, that I knew nothing about. You're there saying, oh, you don't know anything about the single flips. Well, I know something about the coin, and therefore I know something about the series of flips I can expect from it.
But as long as it doesn't tell you anything about an individual, and everything you and I do is with individuals, we're not going to do anything differently.
False. You are, even when you are interacting with an individual, you can have repeat interactions with an individual, and you can have repeat interactions where the individual changes. and where the individual is part of a group or part of another group. Just like you can have repeat interactions with the coin. Now, with repeat interactions with the coins, they're, because of the features, the random features of the coin, and the fact that it will converge toward a mean of 50% tail, 50% head, that gives you information about how your repeats will happen. And now you can start making bets. If you were to bet on the statement I've done earlier, that four heads for tail will be more common than eight heads, you would make money. And if you were to bet on certain groups outperforming others and individuals of those groups outperforming others on certain measures, you would also make money.
We're still going to judge people individually. And the reason you would judge people individually is that it's for your benefit. It's not that you're such an open-minded, great person.
It is also in your benefit to integrate that individual information to known average information. Because there's no situation in which you can know everything about a single person. So in the end, you are always relying on imperfect knowledge. And in this situation of imperfect knowledge, you should keep in mind that your knowledge is not perfectly imperfect. That your knowledge can always be complemented by, for what you don't know about the individual, you still know something. You can know the average of their group. And therefore, the average expectation of the shadows of what you ignore about their personality.
You didn't trust people. If you didn't treat individuals individually, you would miss out on some vast number of people who have, you know, a lot to contribute. So you'd be hurting yourself to take a strategy of assuming you know what somebody is by an average. By an average? And suppose you're white.
Yes. You do average decisions constantly. You know the average reaction time that you have when you do a sport, when you drive a car. You know the average behavior of the driver ahead of you, so you can gauge, am I too close to him? And if he does brake in an average quick way, will that allow me to brake in advance so that I don't collide with him? You do constant decision-making on averages, on what you've been observing, and what you just know theoretically. Go away, says Jeff. If I did a survey of people who stream on the internet for a living, and I found that streamers engage in non-reproductive lifestyle at a rate of 2 times the larger population, should I not go online looking for streamer shows? Well, you should be aware. You should be aware that selecting a random streamer, you are more likely to end up with someone who's gay. And you can totally do that. You can totally integrate this in a rational way to your decision making. What does that mean? Well, it means if you go on a random Twitch stream, let's say you're careless about who you're listening to. If you go on a random Twitch stream, you will have someone who has the perspective of someone who's already had a dick in his mouth. And more than if you were to select someone random on the street. So you have to go with this in mind. So that may mean being more careful about which links you click. That may mean being more attentive to, hey, is he gay? That may mean to complement your lack of knowledge, your probabilistic knowledge, with a true assessment of, is he gay? And then once you found your answer, that doesn't mean to distrust every single streamer, but it means at first, without further knowledge, know that the person who's talking to you is more likely to have had a dick in his mouth than the average person on the street. Eugene Greenbeard sent a super chat. He says, what are your thoughts on precious metals at the moment? I'm thinking about buying a bunch of gold and silver, but I fear it might just be an irrational primal lust for shiny stuff. Well, you have to be super careful in this market. So if you are serious about buying at the spot price, be serious about it. And because there are so many of these offers on TV and by streamers, that's like, hey, you need gold, get your gold now. And you end up paying like 10 times the price of what you would normally pay for this crap. So all I'm saying is, if you want to be serious in this, in the precious metal acquisition, go for something that will deliver at the spot price or close to it with fees. But don't go for these, oh, the special edition of the Donald Trump bullion. 1 ounce of gold for, and they sell you at 10 times the spot price. Don't pay for the crap. Pay only for the metal. Now, personally, I'm not a guy of precious metals. Fuck this shit. I don't like it. I don't like the idea that it's a physical thing that can be stolen. I don't like paper gold either. You know, as John Drake was saying, don't buy paper gold. Yeah, the thing is, these things have their own problems that come with them. So you either have the problem of you get it to your home and it's dangerous. Now you're living on nervousness because it can get stolen at any time. Then the paper problem is that there's all sorts of futures and all sorts of relationships on the market that lead to, it's not clear that these prices on paper gold will always be the same as the prices on real gold. That's a problem. And then there's fees, like people who store gold have the problem that they are stocking inventory and they run fees. So if you have some of these companies that will keep the gold for you, you end up paying fees for your gold to be maintained. So all of this to say, I don't like precious metals. Now he's telling me on the regular chat, yeah, I do intend to pay just spot price. If you're intending to pay spot price, are you intending to get the physical stuff? Or are you intending to be in futures or bets on the market? He says, I'll bury me booty on a desert island and keep an encrypted treasure map on me flash drive. I don't like this, let me tell you. You know, me and Mama JF, we were, there was a weird guy, you know, close to where we live. We were just chilling, you know, spending time in family. And we see a guy come in with a metal detector, and he was walking and like walking on the side roads and in the forest. It was like tick 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 tick, and we were like, "What the fuck are you doing, bro?" And it was like, "I'm looking for metals. I'm looking for rings." And so there are people who walk around with metal detectors, and they want to detect anything metal that would have been dropped by someone else, forgotten there. So be careful. Just burying is not the best, in my view. Now, let's look at the prices of gold. Gold USD. Because I'm so uninterested that I have never looked at it, really. So gold is following the exact pattern today as Bitcoin. So basically, if you look at the story of gold, it's a dampened Bitcoin curve, you know, over 5 years of being from 1,200, having a rise during the Bitcoin moment of rise, and then maintaining its value, but the rise being much less than Bitcoin. So all I want to say here is, sure, there was an opportunity for profit here, but the opportunity for profit, if you had bought gold 4 years ago, is you've made about 50% profit over your gold. 50% profit. If you bought Bitcoin 5 years ago, BTC USD. If you bought Bitcoin 5 years ago, you've made about 225% profit as of today, despite the fact that we went down. So all of this to say, the potential for gold to multiply value is not that great. So he says, yeah, I'm thinking long-term bet on a collapse, like decades-long bet. I mean, certainly you're not going to end up with gold being worth nothing. So certainly it's a good store of value. But I don't see how the heck you wouldn't want to be, if you have assets, you wouldn't want to put them right away in BTC. BTC will give you much better return. And the whole crash of society, at some point, it has to happen, but there's going to be warning signs. And you know, you're not going to get much things for that gold in a crashing society. Like, for a society to be interested in your gold, the society must be able to process precious metals, to value them, to use them for some purpose. I don't think it's super interesting to make a decades-long bet with gold, personally. But I have no doubt that your gold will give you value. I have no doubt that your gold will be worth more than. But I have no doubt that Bitcoin will give you better value. Bitcoin will give you better value. And all you have to do is learn the basics. And I created a whole video about it. So, I mean, you do what you want. I'm sure you will be highly profitable, but I'm sure it will be dampened with respect to Bitcoin. Speaker's Corner says, BTC will be worthless when the power grid goes down. And he puts it in those sarcastic characters. Yeah, you know, the day the power grid goes down, the day a society crumbles so much that it's everyone for themselves, I'm not sure anything that you can buy today will be worth of anything, except perhaps bottles of water and like tools and that kind of stuff, or weapons. But if you want to go that intense into the crumbling of society, let me tell you, it's going to take decades, if not centuries. And you know, maybe your descendants eventually will have to trade that lingot of gold of yours for a bottle of water or for a rescue using Band-Aids and whatever. All of this to say, if you plan for that much of a destruction of society, I'm not sure it's worth it thinking in terms of value. I think that what you should plan for is extract the value of society as it stands. Like, make the profits that are the best that you can do within your lifetime, and then convert this into a transmissible value. Like, I'm pretty sure that if you invest in Bitcoin, and in 10 years from now, you change your Bitcoin for gold, pretty sure you're going to get more gold than what you would have if you had stored the gold today with the current money you have today. So why wouldn't you do that? That seems to me the most rational thing. You know, you have to grow in the most rational way. And right now, gold to me is not the most rational way. Gold has had its days. It's an extremely boomer thing. It's extremely more complex and annoying than Bitcoin. And the reason gold has had its golden days was that there was no Bitcoin. Since we've seen Bitcoin, we've seen gold being stumped. Because if you look at the current behavior of the Fed, all of these would strike like it's time for gold. But gold is not getting the success it deserves. And why? Because there's something better. It's gold that you can transfer. You know, as long as there is an interest in international transfer that are publicly recognized by the rest of society, Bitcoin will be valued something. And Bitcoin will allow you to buy all the gold you want with it. It's always going to be a trivial operation to change from Bitcoin to whatever. To gold, to house, to whatever. And so I don't see the point of going anywhere else than Bitcoin. Now, I understand that not everyone is like me. Not everyone lives the hashtag internet life, you know, web life. But you should be thinking about it because it's not even begun yet. And I've already doubled almost what I had at the bottom. So if you bought Bitcoin at 16K, you're already doubled almost. And he says, but me like shiny. Well, my friend, you know, you have these misdirected misfirings of evolution that are popping inside of you. Because your ancestors evolved to like the shiny because many of them were surviving by finding the shiny stuff and collecting it and selling it on the markets in their time. The future may not be like this. The future demands interconnectedness, demands international transfer possibilities, and demands instantaneity. And all of this are handicapping gold over ETH, Bitcoin, BNB. How they convince Trump to lock down an enduring mystery for 3 years is how Donald Trump came to be the president who shut down American society for what turned out to be a manageable respiratory virus, setting off an unspeakable crisis with waves of destructive fallout that continue to this day. And they review the timeline of Donald Trump being convinced by the Burks of this world, the Fauci, and it ultimately boils down to the attitude of Donald Trump of, I'm going to outflank the left. I'm going to be like, Fauci, I'm giving you everything you ask for. Whatever the experts say. Look at how leftist I am. Isn't it fascinating how much of a leftist I am for a Republican president? I'm willing to trust them. Go ahead, Fauci. And Fauci turned out to be a political plant of sorts for the interest of the Democratic Party, who crashed the American economy, crashed one of the most beautiful moments in American history in terms of America taking back confidence in itself. He totally raped this into the ground. Trapping in Israel sends a super chat. He says, I wonder if there is any economic demand for a company that used brain scanning technology to measure IQ. The thing is, you can't do this. So it's illegal to have an IQ measure as part of a job because the legal standard in the US and probably in most of Western civilization is you cannot administer a test that is general of aptitude. If you administer any test, it has to be strictly related to the employment function. So IQ has been banned, and any sort of brain scans would be banned too. So there is not much demand, because even if that was feasible, and it's not, because the cost would be very high. If you want to run a brain imaging thing that would give you some indirect correlate of IQ, that would be a massive cost. No company is willing to pay that cost just for something that you can basically detect in an interview one-on-one. Ban the BBC says, ha ha ha, the replies, all the legacy blue ticks bitching, they won't be special little snowflakes on this platform anymore, laughing my ass off. Yes, it's amazing how many of these privileged leftist journalists are complaining, and it's like, I won't ever come back to Twitter if you remove my check mark. And it's like, bro, pay $8 per month. If you're serious enough about your business on the internet, if that's how you make a living, your image publicly, you should be able to pay $8. If you're not able to pay $8 for this, as Kevin O'Leary says, you don't have a job. What you have is a hobby. And perhaps it's time to lose the check mark. It's getting real. Unease over banking sector turmoil spurs huge demand for physical precious metal, Well, there you go. There you go, my friend Eugene. You have some people are totally going into the precious metal rush. And yeah, you know, the curves of the precious metal totally follows inflation of society. And, you know, when you look at the curve of gold over decades, it's quite fascinating. So definitely it's not an irrational position. Go Away says, is that Eugene? Well, maybe it is. Maybe it is our super chatter right here who has already started accumulating coins. Hitch had sent me a question in email. He says, hello, JF. I do not catch the live show very often these days, so hard to super chat, but I wanted to ask you a TRP question. My mom was talking the other day about how US Congress at some point started empowering all these executive agencies, FDA, EPA, HUD, etc., to create regulation, effectively outsourcing its primary purpose of legislation and instead becoming a less than effective oversight board. All I could think about was the RNA queens delegating their reproductive function to TRP. Do you think the analogy works here? It certainly feels like the system has been fundamentally transformed without any real acknowledgement and that there is no going back. Anyway, still supporting the show, even if I don't get to watch it much. Thank you for your hard work. Yes, I've often made the comparison of delegation. And this is what happens in a phenotypic revolution. The genes delegate their role as genes to some other thing. So yes, it's an absolutely apt analogy. And it happens in the political process. It happens in the legal process. And it's a dramatic thing. You know, delegating to experts. It happens in the philosophy domain. When you have Sam Harris saying, don't trust Candace Owen, trust my experts. We're all into delegation here. And delegation, I'm starting to believe, is one of the units of massive wrongness of our society and of the general leftist mindset. Delegation is wrong. Delegation transfers the responsibility to someone who may not be able to honor it. And someone who may not have the same incentives as the person making the transfer. And it's the case when we have Greta Thunberg saying, oh, well, don't ask me, I'm just a child. Don't ask me, listen to the scientist. So she's telling us that she doesn't have the brain to process truth from falsehood. But she's saying, look at these brains there. They are the ones to be listened to. And then she's sending us to a bunch of brains who don't have to take exactly her political position. So see, she's taking the attention, the mediatic attention, the philosophical concern with the earth, the political implications of it, the political consequences of it. But at the same time, she's saying, I cannot rest any of these four dimensions of my contribution to even an ability to tell whether I'm basing this on truth or falsehood. Fascinating. Fascinating. Because what if Greta is wrong? And what if we crash Western civilization? What if we crash Western civilization based on a Swedish child's statement where she openly declares, I don't know what I'm talking about. Just listen to these people. Let's say 100 years into the future, we have totally crashed the demographics of Western civilization. China has risen over us. We live in absolute poverty in India-like conditions with countries filled with corruption led by people that are not even our own descendants. And let's say the question comes at the table that day. Why are we in deep shit? And the answer would be, we are in deep shit because we based political, important economic and political decisions on a child who was yelling to us at any opportunity that she didn't know what the fuck she was talking about. That is what we've done. But she was saying the scientists knew, but the scientists weren't taking our political positions. The scientists were just saying, well, as far as what we're trying to guess and our models, we think that we're headed there. So delegation, my friend, it's a crack in which evil sips. Evil just slides in. The devil slips into cracks of delegation. The devil. Go away sends a super chat. He says, I delegate all my responsibilities. That's how I'm able to both have enough time to watch JF at 10 a.m. every day and make enough money to super chat. Delegation is both necessary and useful in building anything of complexity. Oh, well, this discussion does extend into the workplace. And let me tell you, this is one of the great problems of the rich. The rich have money and they want to delegate, but go find someone who's going to take your money and convert it into anything useful without overdraining it. And it's rare. It's rare. And that's what makes a good leader. A good leader is someone who's able to find employees of quality who are just worth it. Because again and again in the corporate world, and I get to see a lot of different ways of working, you know, from the farm world when I speak with my neighbors to the corporate world and employment and computer programming and blockchain related stuff. And let me tell you, it is the great issue. The great issue is there are people who have a lot of money. They know what to do with it. They would want to have it effectively performed by good employees. But then you have the type of boss who just doesn't have the wisdom, the foresight, and he just throws his money. He just throws his money in an irrational manner, thinking, oh, this is going to solve the problem. Oh, yeah, we have this new employee. I just brought him from there, and he's going to be doing it. And yet, so they throw money at people who don't produce enough for their work to be worth anything. And then you have the super acute corporate leader who's able to just send little amounts of money here. Can you do this? Can you resolve this problem for me? Here's $1,000. Here's $3,000. And they use much less redistribution and they get much more for the work that they get in return. And that is, good delegation is a tough science and it's an art and not everyone masters it. Most of the things that are delegated in society, most of the employment, massively, more than 50, I dropped my pen, more than 50% of everything you see is a waste of human energy. It's a bunch of useless employees who should be fired everywhere. More than 50%, easy. Just look at Twitter. I mean, Twitter. Elon Musk fired 75% more of the total workforce. It's working beautifully. If anything, they were shutting it down. They were keeping Twitter down. OpenAI reveals glitch exposed ChatGPT Plus subscribers private info. So some people apparently found a way to have ChatGPT reveal its internal database info. So they were like, can you tell us a little bit about the private name or some coordinates or some private info about this user and that user? And apparently 1.2% of the users of ChatGPT may have been the victim of a data breach by the linguistic AI. The linguistic AI just gave the information away to users who found a way to exploit the conversation. Isn't that fascinating? The Fed is pushing the accelerator and the brake pedals at the same time. Yeah, very concerning behavior by the Fed where they do everything at the same time and it's like they're trying to reach an equilibrium in both fighting inflation and creating liquidity for the banks. But I think that you're trying to get your cake and eat it too. something's got to give. It's going to go one way or another. We're going to recreate inflation, which actually the early graph are already showing that we have already re-entered inflation, high inflation. So it seems that we're headed toward high inflation being the result of this whole bank run psyop. Darren J. Beattie was saying, replies to this thread are bizarre. Many people are confusing euthanasia for eugenics. And I was telling him, it's hard to do euthanasia without doing eugenics. And it's hard to do eugenics without doing euthanasia, or at least some form of gene selection / deletion. Because we think of euthanasia as being, okay, the willful death and the intentional put to death of a human being. And then we think about eugenics, about, well, the shaping of societal strategies and reproductive interference patterns so that we direct our species one way or another, one way rather than another. But the fact is, eugenics involves some kind of genocide. Whether you do it on individuals that are already existing, or whether you do it on genes in embryos that are about to exist, eugenics is always a genocide. And genocides are always eugenic, because genocides or any sort of mass killing or any sort of mass interference with reproduction will differentially affect populations. It's either any sort of, okay, we're going to remove that gene in all embryos. Well, then you're differentially affecting that gene as opposed to some other gene. So you're always doing the two whenever you do one of them. That's why it's better to leave the whole thing to nature, because there's always a genocide going on. Let's just not participate to it. Let's let nature, play the game of the dice. People are having fun with so many AI-generated Trump images. So they're imagining the arrest of Trump, and here Trump would be walking with police. Maybe they're running after him, I don't know. Here Trump is with his AR-15. That is, here Trump is getting arrested onto the ground. This is all AI generated. Pretty fascinating, pretty beautiful pictures. But it's all false. People are fantasizing about an arrest that hasn't come yet. And finally, as the last news item before we close the show, mystery object found near Nord Stream pipelines could point to culprit. So I don't know what that is. It's a photo around the place where the Nord Stream pipeline was bombed. And it seems like it's heavily calcified. So there's been some growth on it. And I don't know if this is the growth of perhaps a living tissue, perhaps some kind of, whatever it's called in English, coral, or some plants at the bottom of the sea. Or it could be a ionic phenomenon of buildup of salts. You can have some ionic phenomena where the sea drops some atoms one after the other, and it creates these stalagmite-like structures. So whatever is inside this, something has been covering it. So I don't think we're seeing the thing here. But Russia believes that the thing inside of this, on which some stuff has been growing, like moss. Yes, new guy, like it could be moss. It could be moss, or it could be, as I was saying, a deposit of salt having developed, whatever that is. What's inside of this could be some kind of clue as to what kind of rocket, what kind of bomb container, what kind of torpedo could have been the culprit in blowing up the Nord Stream pipeline. Or perhaps it's an anchor, it could be a boat anchor. and it would give clues about what kind of boat, which boat, America, Poland, whatever that is. So interesting, we'll be following this, but for now there's no information about what that is. The photo, I believe, comes from Sweden. So that is it for tonight, boys. You know, it's some of the last days where I will tell you it is still time to get into Bitcoin. I made all of my descriptions. I made my... In fact, let me leave it in the show notes. I made a whole episode on surviving with Bitcoins. JFG tonight. Let me add it here so that you can get it in the show notes as the last item down below. Odyssey search. Okay. The ultimate guide to surviving with Bitcoin. I highly recommend. If you haven't gotten into Bitcoin, it is still a good time, perhaps not to make a 10x on your investment at this time because Bitcoin has already risen. But I think it's totally reasonable to think that you could make a 4x or a 5x on an investment right now that you would pull out around 2024, 2025. So this is my last warning because I'm not going to tell you to buy Bitcoin at 60k. I told you to buy Bitcoin at 16k. I'm telling you it's still not so late. You can still get in at 27k. And you've lost your opportunity maybe to do 10x, but you haven't lost the opportunity to do 4 or 5x. But I'm not going to send you toward Bitcoin at 60k. Because at 60k, your best hope will be to do 2x. So, and there will be risk involved that we don't reach it. So it is the time where you have to decide. Are you in with the bull run with Papa JF? I've been making a living from this, basically. I've been deriving most of my value from Bitcoin, invested from my initial sales of the Revolutionary Phenotype and my career on YouTube. Bitcoin has been extremely rewarding to me. And it's your choice. You can get in. You can not believe me. But if you have assets, if you have money that you can invest, it is absolutely reasonable to put it in Bitcoin and you can celebrate with me once in 2024, 2025, we attain 10 times or 5 times our initial amounts. Aquanote says, do you explain hard wallets in that, Jeff? Exactly. The ultimate guide to surviving with Bitcoin is a full guide where I recommend all the products that are the best in my view, which is a Ledger hard wallet. So your key never gets typed into any computer. It's on an independent device, the Ledger Nano S, which you can get for $100 approximately. And metal plates. Yeah, Nano X or Nano S, whatever is the current one. I think it may be Nano X. Metal plates to save your seed word so that your seed words can be hidden in your house or somewhere else, somewhere where it's super safe, where no one can ever see them. And at the same time, you want those seed words to survive a fire, a house fire. And you want them to be able to survive water or humidity. Fleur de Sel says, I wish best for all crypto holders, but I'll stick with gold and silver for the moment. Perfectly fine, you know. Certainly, if you're already in those and you have your ways and your investments in there, there's not necessarily a reason that will motivate you to get out of it and get into that. Micronova says, I buy Ledger hardware wallets for friends to teach them about crypto. Yeah, and it's perfect for me. I've had my few hiccups today, my first hiccups with it today. And it's that on the Binance Smart Chain, it underperforms. But the coins are still safe, so I'm satisfied. This will be my last speech for Bitcoin. Because I don't want to recommend Bitcoin to you guys as we get to 60K, but we're almost there. All we need is double from here, and we're around 60K. So it's like, it's amazing how there wasn't much of a bottom. The bottom was 16K, and it was your occasion to get in. And the Fed is getting absolutely insane, and so I see a bright, bright, bright future for Bitcoin. That is it for tonight. Much love, and I'll see you all tomorrow. Thank you.